We begin the current daf Masechta Nazir, the daf Nun Tes. We begin on the top of the Yamid, where the Gemara continues with discussion of the previous daf. That is, we had a halacha from Rabbi Yochanan that he said that if a man removes the hair from his underarms or from his pubic area, he gets lashes. So the Gemara asked him a b'raisa that said clearly that there's no biblical violation about for a man shaving off that hair. It's only rabbinic. So how can you get lashes, which is only for biblical violations? So the Gemara answered, "My loika nami dekama." You're right. What does Rabbi Yochanan mean when he says you get lashes? It means midrabban, it means makas maridus, rabbinic lashes. That was the first version of Rabbi Yochanan's statement. Now, however, our Gemara continues and says, "Ikadami," that those that say a different version, which therefore you can't give the same answer, and the Gemara is going to have a different approach. That Amr b'chir bar Abba Amr Rabbi Yochanan hamaver beisa shechu beisa erva. If a man shaves off the hair from his underarms or from his pubic area, Loike gets lashes mishum, because it says in the pasuk lo yilbash gever simlas isha. It says in Devarim that a man is not allowed to clothe himself with the garments of a woman, which doesn't mean just the clothing; it means to do feminine type of grooming. Now, therefore, we see clearly that Rabbi Yochanan brings a pasuk. So obviously, when he says loike, according to this version, you get lashes. It's a biblical lashes, not rabbinic. And therefore, the Gemara asks Meisav, we learn the Braisa that says, "Havara Seir Eina Medibri Tayir Ela Medibri Seifrim." Removing the hair from the rest of the body is not a biblical violation, only rabbinic. So here you can't give the answer the Gemara gave in the first version, which was, "Oh, lashes rabbinically," because here he says clearly from a pasuk that it's a biblical violation. Yet the Braisa says it's only rabbinic. So that the Gemara answers, "Hu d'amr ki ay tana." You're right. Obviously, that Tana that Braisa disagrees, but Rabbi Yochanan goes like a different Tana. The Tana like learn the Braisa. Hamaver beis hashechu beis erva. If a man takes away the hair from his underarm or from the place of his erva, hareza oiver mishum lo yilbash gever sim lasisha. Clearly, the Braisa says like Rabbi Yochanan that there is a biblical violation of lo yilbash. A man's not allowed to do feminine type of grooming. Now, the Gemara asks if a Tana kama, but the Tana of the first Braisa that says that there is no biblical violation of removing the hair from all these other areas. So hayla yilbash gever my darish be. What does he expound regarding the exposition of this pasuk of a violation of lo yilbash? What is it coming to say? So on that, the Gemara says, he needs it like we learned in the following braisa. And because the braisa asked the same question. Layiakli gever al isha. It says that a man's clothing is not allowed to be on the woman. So my tamalayma, what is the pasuk coming to teach? As the braisa explains, im shlo yilbash ish simlas isha, if it's just because like the little translation, which means to say that a man's not allowed to wear woman's clothing, the isha simlas ish, and the woman's not allowed to wear man's clothing. But hare kvar nema, but the pasuk already says there at the end of the pasuk, it says, why can't you do this? Because ta'evahi, it's an abomination. Now, obviously, therefore, you can't explain that the pasuk of the beginning of lo yilbash and lo silbash is because of just wearing each other's clothing, because vein kan ta'eva, that's not an abomination. A woman wearing man's clothing or a man wearing woman's clothing is not an abomination. So therefore, it obviously can't be like the little translation. So there must be some deeper drush over here. So what is the exposition? So according to the other braisa, we said it's regarding feminine type of grooming. But according to the time of the first braisa, it holds that that's not the issa deraisa. So then what is the pasuk referring to? That is an abomination. Ela shelo yilbash ish simlas isha v'yosha bin hanoshim. It's not just wearing women's clothing. It's that he's going to wear women's clothing and then hang out amongst the women. Or, v'isha simlas ish v'tesha bein hanoshim, what is an abomination, is that the woman's going to be wearing the man's clothing and then hanging around the men. That is what the pasuk is coming to teach, according to the Tana of the first braisa. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, he says, minayin shlo teitze isha b'kli zayin l'machama. From where do we know that a woman's not allowed to go out with weaponry on her out to war? So Tamalayma, that he learns from the pasuk, it says, Layia klei gever ala isha, that a man's tools are not allowed to be on the woman. It's a reference to klei zayin, who's the one that fights in the wars and carries all these weapons, are men. That's a prohibition for a woman to carry these things out to war. And when it says, Layia yilbash gever simlas isha, that a man is not allowed to wear a woman's clothing, he learns, Shalo yisakin ish b'tekun isha, means to say that a man should not groom himself the way women do. In other words, that he shouldn't put on makeup and lipstick and all these other things, and that he shouldn't remove the hair from his underarms and from his pubic area. Again, that's considered a violation of lo yilbash gever simlas isha. Now, however, Amr Rav Nachman, he says, b'nazir mutar. He says that by a nazir, since when he concludes his naziris, he cuts off all the hair of his head, so once he's doing that, he's shaving off all the hair of his head. By shaving now his underarm and his pubic area, that would not be considered that he's making himself ladylike, because he's already cutting off all his hair because of a nazir, so that wouldn't be a violation of that. But the Gemara concludes, the halacha does not follow like Rav Nachman, and it's also forbidden for a nazir to cut off the hair of his beis hashechi or beis ha'erva, although he's cutting off already all the hair on his head. Now, Amar le Rabbanan le Reb Shimon bar Abba. The Rabbanan said to Reb Shimon bar Abba, Chazina le Reb Yechanan, we saw Reb Yechanan the last day, that we saw that he doesn't have hair by his underarms or by his pubic area. Now, moreover, as the Rush explains, that it was obvious to them that it wasn't done just by scissor, it must have been done by razor, which is this issa that we're saying for a man to shave off the hair of his pubic area and of his underarms, because they saw it was a clean shave. There was no hair over there, and obviously that was done with a razor, and that's forbidden. So how is it possible Reb Yechanan doesn't have hair over there? So Amaloini said to them, Machma zikna nashur, it's because of his old age that the hair fell out, but it's not because he shaved it off, because that's forbidden. Moreover, the Gemara brings an incident. There was a certain person that had to be given lashes in the court of Reb Ami. So, igloi beis hashechi. Now, during the procedure, when they were taking off his garments to give him lashes, they saw his underarms. And chazid lemegalech. And Reb Ami saw that it wasn't shaved. He had the hair by his underarm. So Reb Ami said to the people, Shavko, leave him alone. Don't give him lashes. Dein min chavrayahu, he's one of us. In other words, he knows that it's forbidden to shave off the hair of an underarm, and therefore, he said, spear him. Gemara continues. Rav asked from Rebchir, ma'u legaleach, what's the halacha regarding shaving off the person's hair on his body with a razor? So Amalei also, so I said to him, as we've been teaching, beis hashechi, beis ha'erva, it's forbidden. So Amalei said to him, but v'hoko gadol. He asked him a very practical question, that the hair is going to continue to grow on the body. Now, that's going to cause a person a lot of pain. Now, since it's going to end up growing and becoming a source of pain to the person, then even now when he shaves it off, that's not considered lo yilbash gever simlas isha. He's not doing it to beautify himself like a lady, like a woman. Rather, it's just to spare himself pain. And to spare yourself pain should be permitted. So Amalei, so he responded, he said, bar paxi, meaning it's honorific, like a son of noble people, zman yeshloi, don't worry, there's a certain limit, a time, how much the hair and the rest of the body grows, and it's not going to grow to a point where it's going to cause him pain, because kolzman shehu gadol noisher, because as much as it grows, when the hair gets bigger, it falls out. So therefore, it's never going to grow to that extent that it's going to cause a person pain. Now, Tosfos says, but the understanding of the inference sounds like, but if a person's whole intention of the cutting of these things was not for beauty, but rather to save the person from pain, then actually that would not be a violation of clay of Layilbash. And therefore he brings that if someone's looking in the mirror not to get hurt, so it's permitted, and that's how Rabbeinu Peretz says that his teacher, Reb Shmuel Ma'avira, would cut his hair in front of a mirror, although that would be considered as Layilbash, as something that women use for their types of grooming, but it would be permitted if it's being done not for beautifying as Layilbash, but rather as just that one shouldn't be cutting themselves up because they can't see without a mirror. The Gemara continues, Boyimene Rav Reb Chiya, Mahu Lochich. What's the halacha? So we said, okay, you can't cut off the hair. But what's the halacha? You let to scrape yourself and scratch yourself to be able to pull out the hair by the pubic area. So Omalei said to him, Asr, it's forbidden. You're not allowed to pull out the hair. But big de mahu, what's the halacha with a garment? So Amalei Mutar, he says, that's permitted. And the reason is because in such a situation where he's scratching himself over a garment, that's not considered tikkun isha. That's not how women do it. You know, so a woman would do it maybe by hand, but it's not going to be done by over the garment. So if one is doing it that way, that wouldn't be a violation of lo yilbash. Now, ikada ame, that actually those that have a different version, that boyimenei, what he asked from him was, bitfila bebigdemai. He wanted to know, during davening, are you allowed to scratch over the garment, which is by the area of the underarm or by the pubic area, is that permitted or forbidden because you're during davening? Somali also says that's forbidden. And on that, the Gemara says, "Bless Hilchos Hakavah," says the halacha does not fall like him because since you're not touching the skin itself, not touching the area, that's not prohibited even during davening. Now we continue on Tamid Beis, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which continues on the theme of the previous Mishnah, which spoke about this halacha opening up our parak of Shnei Nazirim, there were two Nazirim, and someone else testified and said, look, I don't know which one of you it is, but one of you became Tamid. So he said that each one has to be concerned that maybe he's not another Tahar, and really he's another Tamid, but we don't know which one, so they bring the Karbanas together, and one's a Karban for Nazir Tahar, one's one for Nazir Tamid, and then they wait 30 days, and then they bring one Nazir Tahar, and whichever one was that was Tamid last time, he had the tummy last time and this time for the tar, and the one that was tar had it already last time. Now, on that, our Mishnah continues and says, but Mace Echeman, what do we do if one of the two guys died? Now you're stuck. You have one guy who's left with a Suffolk tumma. What does he do? So, what do you do? In other words, you can't just bring your Karbanis because maybe you're tummy, and you can't just bring Nazir tummy because maybe you're really Nazir tar. So, on that, Amri Bishu, he says, what you should do is Yevakish Echem Min Hashok. He should go ahead and seek out someone from the marketplace, meaning get some other guy, sheyader connect the benazir, that should now correlate with him, now to be in the same situation he had when he was with another person, that should take upon himself a naziris. Va'imer, and he should say as follows, meaning this, the original guy who didn't die from the two nazirim, should say, look, im tamei hayisi, we don't know, me or the other guy who died could have been tamei. Says, if I was tamei, so Hari Atu Nazir Miyad, this conditional, you're Naziris. I'll explain to you, Mr. Shuk, what your situation is. If I was Tameh, Hari Atu Nazir Miyad, you'll be a Nazir immediately. Now, Vim Tar Hayisi, and if it's really true that it turns out that I was the Tar when I never became Tameh, Hari Atu Nazir Achash Leishem Yehim. You Naziris, again, we don't know, but Klap Ishmael Galia, heaven knows, and we're making this condition, whatever the halacha really is, if I was Tar, so then your Naziris would only take effect after 30 days. So that's what he does. Now, v'seifrin shleishim. Now, they go ahead and they count 30 days from when the second guy who just came from the marketplace accepts upon himself his naziris. Now, so after that 30 days, u'mevin karban tuma v'karban taras, and now they bring two karbanas. One is for a nazir that's tamei, and one's for a nazir that's tahar. V'aymer, now the original guy says as follows, im ani hu atamei, if I was from one of those two, like that other guy who had died, if I was the one that was tamei, so carbon tumishali, the one carbon that we're bringing for nazir tamei is mine. The carbon tar shalach, because that was the condition that we made. If I was the nazir tamei, you're taking your naziris right away, and it's now 30 days after that. So the carbon of tar is yours. But ve'imani hu hatar, if I was really tar all along, so carbon tar shali, so the carbon of tar is mine, and more. But you never accepted yourself upon yourself the naziris. We said it's only going to take effect after 30 days if I'm really nazir that's tar. Now, regarding b'karban tumah b'safik, regarding the karban tumah that we're bringing, which is not for me or for you, because unlike the Mishnah Dafna Zayin, here it's not the original two guys, it's a new guy. So that is what's called that bringing that in safik. And that's a reference, as the Rush explains, to the chatas ha'if, which the chatas ha'if, a bird that's a chatas, can be brought even in situations, as elsewhere in Shas is explained, even in situations of doubt, but it's not going to be eaten. So that chatas ha'if is going to be brought on safek, meaning, and you could bring such a carbon even though it's a situation of doubt, meaning usually you run into problems. You can't bring a carbon on safek because then you're bringing chulun to the azar. Chatas ha'if, there's no such a problem. There's actually a unique halacha regarding it. It could be brought in the situation of a safek. So now with safek and shleishim, now they count another 30 days. Umavi and carbon tar, and they bring one carbon of a naziris of tar, meaning for the conclusion of a naziris. Now the original guy says, imani hatameh, if I was originally tameh, so karban tuma shali. So the original karban tuma we brought 30 days ago was for me. For karban tar shalach, and the karban tar we brought 30 days ago was for you, because that means to say you had originally immediately taken upon yourself the naziris. V'zeh, and this one 30 days later is karban tar rasi, is now that I have kept my naziris in tara is my karban. But v'manihu atarf, I was originally tar. So karban tar shali, that means to say the original karban tar was for me. For karban tuma b'safik, that means to say the karban for tuma was for nobody. It was a situation of doubt, which is allowed to be brought. B'zehu, and that means to say this one is coming 30 days later, is karban tar rasecha, which we said that you took upon yourself the naziris 30 days later. Now this is 30 days after that. So this is the karbanas of your tara. Now Amrulay ben Zayma. So ben Zayma said to Rabbi Yeshua, "Umish shemei aloy sheyader kinegde benazir." Great idea. But who in the world, pray tell, is going to, just because you need a favor, because you're stuck, take upon himself a naziris? No one's going to do that. Sa'ela, rather, Ben Zayma gives a different option what this one guy who, when the second Nazir, who maybe was the Tamei one or not, dies. Maybe Chatzas Ha'if. Rather, he brings the Chatzas Ha'if, meaning for the suffix of Tumah of a Nazir. Now, as the Rush explains, the carbon Asham, there's usually three carbonis that he brings when he's a Nazir Tamei. There's a Chatzas Ha'if, Eilas Ha'if, which there's a discussion in the Rishayim and what's with that. And then there's a carbon Asham. So on that, the Rush explains that the carbon Asham he doesn't have to bring, because it's going like the opinion of the Rabbanan that's brought previously that say that if Hevi Chatasa, if he brought his carbon Chatas, below Hevi Asham, he didn't bring his carbon Asham yet, he could be mine, he could already start counting his Naziris of Tahara. So therefore, what he does is since maybe he's a Nazir Tamei or maybe not, so he brings the Chatas Alef, which we said you could bring in situations of doubt. And moreover, you could start your Naziris of Tahara even though you're not bringing your carbon Asham. V'oilas behema, and you also bring this Toma at the end of, which is possibly the end of his Naziris if he wasn't Tamei. And he brings the oilas behema, which is what a regular Nazir brings when he concludes his Naziris. V'ayman, he says as follows. Im Tamei heyisi, if I was the one out of the two that became Tamei. So ha-chatas mechavasi, so the chatas ha'if, is my obligatory carbon I have to bring as a Nazir Tamei. Va'ila nadava, and the carbon oila is then a donation. It's just a nadava to the mizbeach. Vim tar ha'isi, and if I really was never tamei and I was always a nazir tar, so oila michevasi. So the carbon oila, the animal that I'm bringing, is from my obligation as a nazir tar to conclude his naziris. Va'chatas misafik, and the chatas is being brought again out of doubt, which is allowed to be brought. Now, then v'sefer shloshim yom. Then he counts 30 days. Meaning another 30 days, meaning after he would have concluded his Naziris, if he was Nazir Tar, he counts 30 days, or maybe carbon tar volume, and then he brings just the carbon that comes at the conclusion of the Naziris. And he says, Im Tamei Hayisi, if I was originally Tamei, so Eila Rishayna Nadava, comes out that the first Eila I brought was really Nadava because I wasn't yet a Nazir Tar. I was first bringing my Chatas Ha'if as a Nazir Tamei. Bezuch Ha'if, and therefore this one I'm bringing 30 days after that is my obligatory ones. But Vim Tar, you see, if I was originally Tar back then, 30 days ago, so Oyla Rishayin Achayva, so the first Oyla I brought was my obligatory Oyla, Vizu Nadav, and this is a Nadav, Vizu Shar Karbani, and now that it's already maybe 60 days later, it says, I'm bringing the rest of my Karbanis, which you have to bring three Karbanis when you conclude your Naziris. Now I'm bringing, besides the Oyla, which could be the one I'm bringing now, or the one I brought 30 days ago, I'm also bringing the rest of my Karbanis now. So Rabbi Shu contends, however, with Ben Zayma, and he says, Nimsa, that would come out, Zem maybe Karbanos of Lachatzayim, that he's bringing his Karbanos in parts, in different halves, because if it's true that, which is a 50% chance, that he was never Tamei, and he was really Nazir Tar 30 days ago, turns out that the first Oila he brought then was his obligatory Oila as a Nazir Tar, and now 30 days later he's bringing his Chatzas and his Shlamim, so he's bringing in two different shifts. So that the Mishnah concludes, Aval Haidu Leichacham Le Ben Zayma. But in spite of that, the sages agreed to the opinion of Ben Zayma. They weren't concerned with this tain of Rabbi Shua that he's bringing his Karbanos Lechatzoyin, that he's bringing one out of the three now, and 30 days later bringing the other two. Now, in actuality, the Gemara asks on Rabbi Shua, who he had this tain of that, oh, weren't you bringing Karbanos Lechatzoyin possibly? That maybe 30 days ago you were ready to bring your Oilas Chayvid, now 30 days later bring your other two Karbanos. Asks the Gemara, Velaisi, what's the difference? Let him bring it in two different halves. Why does it care if it's a 30-day gap? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, he says, you're right. Actually, Rabbi Shua agreed to the opinion of Ben Zayma. Now, this that he said, that originally, as the beginning of the Mishnah says, that he should seek somebody else to join with him in this Naziris so that they could, you know, throw it off each other and say, if I'm the one, if you're the one, and didn't say Ben Zayma's opinion, was like Amr Rabbi Yeshua only said El Chadid Basal Tamidim, is because he wanted to sharpen his students. He wanted to see when he said, as we see in the beginning of the Mishnah, he said, oh, what's the guy supposed to do? He might not be a Nazir Tamei, he might yes be a Nazir Tamei, oh, let him get someone else and do the whole thing. Now he was waiting for one of his students to say, what do you mean, Rabbi? Why do you need to get another guy? You could do like what Ben Zayma said. So really, in actuality, Rabbi Shua agrees to Ben Zayma. He just said it because he wanted his students to tell him what Ben Zayma ultimately ended up saying. Now, the Rush, however, addresses, although Rabbi Shua then retorts back to what Ben Zayma said, how can you say he agrees to Ben Zayma when he retorts and he says, what do you mean? Nimtza zeh mevi karbonos v'lachatzoyin. According to what Ben Zayma is saying, Rabbi Shua says, you're going to be bringing it in different parts. And that explains the Rosh. All Rabbi Shu was making an observation, a comment, was that you're right. If there is no one else doing what I had proposed, which you don't have to do, you could do like Ben Zayma, but just you should just know then he's going to possibly be bringing his karbonas and has, but not that that's a problem. He was just making that observation. Now, Amar of Nachman, Nachman says that my lavid leil Rabbi Shua, what is Rabbi Shua going to do with ledake, with the intestines of the karbonas, the leilisru, that they shouldn't get spoiled? In other words, his question is on Rabbi Shua that he said, he proposed that it shouldn't be one guy doing this. He should get another guy from Min HaShuk. Now, the problem is that you're going to have to delay the tenufa of the chalev. There's certain fats that are brought on the Mizbeach. You can only do that after both Nazirim go ahead and cut their hair, because we don't know who it is that the carbon is being brought, and it can only be done after the haircut is done. So it turns out that you're going to have to delay sacrificing the fats, because you first have to lift it up, and you can't do the lifting up until he cuts his hair, until both of them cut the hair, and that takes time, and it might, in that interim, might make the fat spoil. Now, the Rush points out, although, that if, let's say, one of them, when there's two original people, that one of them would become tummy, and we don't know who it is, that's what you have to do, like would be the case in the Mishnah on Daf and Zion, but that's only because that's not possible to do it any other way. But what's bothering Rav Nachman is, but here, you should rather do like Ben Zayma and not like how Rabbi Shua is proposing, because that's going to cause unnecessary delay and it might cause the fats to spoil, which we don't want it, because it has to be sacrificed on the Mizbeach. Now, the Rosh actually does not like this Girsa, and he says, because we already said in the Gemara that Rabbi Shua doesn't hold of what he says in the Mishnah, he was only saying L'chad ba'asatamidim, so why is Rav Nachman asking Rabbi Shua as if, oh, what's he going to do with that, when Rabbi Shua himself agrees primarily to the interpretation of Ben Zayma, and he was only saying his approach of getting someone else from the Shuk, because he was waiting for his students to say, Rebbe, you don't need to get someone else, the guy himself could do it, and it won't cause any unnecessary halachic complications and problems. And therefore he says that, seemingly, that there shouldn't be any question on Rabbi Shua if he agrees to Ben Zayma.